Woo! Welcome back to another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast. I'm Alex Turco, and that's it today. No Scott Manzi. The guy has been bailing on me left and right. No, really, it's only two times ever, so I can't hold him to the fire. But he is announcing right now the Florida Gators in town playing the JU Dolphins in baseball. So Scott had prior arrangements there, the job that he gets paid to do, unlike this podcast. I did have to let him off the hook to go ahead and do that. And Scott, if you're listening, I stole one of your beers that you left in the fridge because you're not here. Pretty damn good, though. I appreciate you leaving that six-pack behind. So again, I'm Alex Turco here with the Sports Bar Podcast in the Ice Mule Studios, flying solo tonight. Going to be a little bit of a shorter episode as Scott left me high and dry here. But, you know, we still got a lot to get to. We got NBA coming out of the All-Star break, some important stuff there as we look at the second half of that season. The NFL, things are starting to shake up a little bit. We have some veterans making moves and, you know, making headlines there in the NFL. The XFL, don't really have much to say, but we'll touch on that too. I know me and Scott are diehard Houston Roughneck fans now, so got to follow them, of course. I'm going to touch on a little bit of NFL draft, just a little bit, because really nothing has come of it yet. I mean, the Combine, I believe, is next week. We're going to have some guys running and jumping and measuring hands. You know, all the good stuff, man. Small hands, big hands. You see that make storylines once every couple years. Well, once every year when it comes to the Combine. And then when it comes to Donald Trump and his hand size, you know, once every 4 years. But nonetheless, we will be breaking down some of the most ridiculous stuff next week at the Combine, I'm sure. I'd love to be a fly on the wall and hear some of the questions that they ask. I know in the past, I mean, Dez Bryant, I remember whenever he was coming out of Oklahoma State, was asked some super personal questions like, was your mom a prostitute? So these NFL guys are going to invest millions in you. They are not leaving a stone unturned. I mean, no matter how inappropriate, They're gonna toe the line there and probably cross it, and if they get a slap on the wrist, so be it. But they're going to get to the bottom of that. I mean, if your mom is out there being a prostitute, they wonder what you're going to do on the weekends, I guess. So, you know, Dez never really got in trouble, so I guess it worked out well for him. But first, I'd like to touch on old Lizzo, one of our favorite openers, and she seems to always grab headlines with either what she's wearing or, in some cases, unfortunately for my preference, what she's not wearing. This past week at the Brit Awards, which I don't even know what those are, but Lizzo made a rather impressive appearance to some, I'm sure, as she literally came in a Hershey chocolate bar wrapper, like her entire body was a Hershey chocolate bar rapper, I guess you could say. I think she was kind of going for I'm the chocolate, and she certainly was busting through the wrapper. But I would advise you to go check it out. At the very least, it's enticing. The real headline in the sports world, though, is probably yesterday being the Daytona 500. Today is Tuesday, so I guess they had to oh, that's right. Man, I just messed myself up because I was thinking the Daytona 500 was Sunday, right? They actually got rained out and had to move it over to Monday, and they postponed it till 4 p.m. yesterday. I'm recording late here on a Tuesday. Ryan Newman, if you didn't see the end, which I'm sure you have by now, was involved in a very serious wreck there, jockeying for first place. It was a wild crash. I was sitting on the couch, and I actually, my son's obsessed with cars, obsessed with trucks, so I was able to kind of use that as an excuse for me to watch it. And I was sitting there having a couple beers, and Ashley sat down. It caught her attention, my wife sitting on the couch with me and asking tons of questions as she knows nothing about NASCAR, like most people don't. And Ryan Newman spins out of control and goes airborne. Okay, so if that's not bad enough, his car gets hit while it's upside down and airborne and spins in the air like two more times. So it was a pretty scary sight to see, especially because when it landed on the hood of the car and skid probably 75 yards, maybe 50 yards, sparks flying everywhere, especially inside the cab. You could see sparks everywhere. And I was like, oh my God, what a crazy finish. Because of course it was overtime to where they had to do the green, white checker multiple times. And this was the last lap. And I said to Ashley, you know, assuming he would pop out of the car and not thinking anything of it and just kind of, you know, being a dick a little bit, I'm like, man, let's just hope he didn't die, you know, tongue in cheek. But then as the severity, you know, built up, I was like, oh my God, this could be bad. And you immediately, as everyone would naturally, think Dale Earnhardt Sr. and about how Earnhardt at the 500 wrecked in what seemed like just a everyday NASCAR wreck and, you know, died pretty much on his way to the hospital in the ambulance. And immediately I was just, everyone kind of went quiet. And Ashley was like, is he okay? Obviously, I had no idea. And it was just odd that there was so much silence around the whole situation. No one had any news breaking on is he okay or what was the severity of it. But we do find out today, listen, he was in critical condition. He's talking to family post-wreck. He's in the hospital still, was in critical condition, but it's not life-threatening. And it seems as though he's recovering. So that's great news. But, man, it was certainly, I'm sure, touch and go for a little bit there. And it was really awkward watching Denny Hamlin kind of celebrate and Joe Gibbs Racing try to celebrate among silence. I mean, everyone in the stands was a little bit shaken up from that. So it was a crazy finish, very entertaining to watch. I mean, you can't debate that no matter what the outcome was there of the wreck. Of course, that took the headline at the end because everyone was worried about Ryan Newman's health. But we are happy, and I'm sure I speak for everyone, to hear that. Sounds like he's going to make a full recovery. And although these were serious injuries, nothing life-threatening. All right, so I did touch on the NFL having a couple veterans peeking and breaking through the headlines of the offseason here. Leading off, Greg Olsen signs with Seattle as a tight end. Everyone knows he's been with the Bears in the past, but really he has made his mark in the NFL on a long-term basis with the Carolina Panthers. Looks like they have agreed to part ways, and he is off to Seattle. What's really exciting about that to me is Russell Wilson really likes throwing to tight ends. I mean, we remember Jimmy Graham there. He has all these other tight ends now that probably are a bunch of no-names if it wasn't for Russell Wilson, but he loves a good check down, a nice safety valve, and I think that'll help them a lot. Greg Olsen really, aside from injury, has been productive whenever he's healthy. So I think that's a good pickup there for Seattle. It's 3 years, I think. A little bit longer. I guess I'd have to check the contract. But regardless, pretty low risk knowing that this guy can hop right in and immediately move the chains for first downs on a consistent basis. The other veteran making a splash today was Drew Brees. Sounds like Drew Brees is going to keep the party going as we approach Mardi Gras in New Orleans. And the Saints are going to give it another go with Drew Brees. I don't know how you cut ties with him. I mean, I think I would do the same thing. But what's crazy about this story to me is we're really not going to know how it works out till hindsight. I mean, that's not breaking news. That's how almost all moves work. But they do have Teddy Bridgewater as a backup, and they do have Taysom Hill. Sounds like Taysom Hill's dead set on playing quarterback, and it sounds like Sean Payton thinks he can be a quarterback. But are they going to be able to keep Bridgewater and Hill and Breeze? I think that answer is no. Which one of them goes? Because the Saints can't afford, not from a financial standpoint, but from a production standpoint, they can't risk, I guess, is a better way of saying that I don't think they should let the other two go. Breeze's arm is declining without question. I mean, he's having trouble getting the ball downfield now, and I would still ride with him as my starter if I knew I could lock up one of those backups, because he doesn't have a lot left in the tank, and we've seen guys drop off cliffs before. I mean, Phillip Rivers, another free agent, he's dropped off a cliff from just being able to push the ball downfield. He can't do it. Still has that little odd catapult arm and throwing motion, but it got him this far. It just doesn't seem to be working anymore. And Drew Brees is starting to show signs of his physical, or I guess of his age, impacting his physical ability. And he's still a proven winner. He's still helping Michael Thomas break records. So it's not like it's been a big enough track record or sample size in order to say, okay, we got to move on. Time for a youth movement. And I'm really excited to see how that shakes out. Do they go with Teddy Bridgewater as the backup, now that we know Breeze is there? Do they go with Bridgewater, or do they take a flyer on Taysom Hill's ceiling and let Bridgewater go? You got to remember, when Bridgewater was the quarterback, I think he started 5 games or 6 games. Shoot, it might have been 7. But he went undefeated. But in those games, the defense really carried him. Bridgewater played very, very effective from a game management and not turning the ball over standpoint. Had a couple games where he really let some rip, and it looked great, but he never had a full game where start to finish he was airing it out and just putting teams down from the offensive side. It was really a couple defensive battles there, led by Cam Jordan on the D-line, Sheldon Rankins, all those guys had really good years. So I'm excited to see how that one shakes out. And guess what? This was the first domino to fall. Me and Scott talked about it the past couple weeks. Just how exciting it is. We're nerds, man. We grew up with this stuff. We're football jockey nerds. We love this. So free agency is always appealing to us. Who goes where? Well, when Breeze re-signs, does that mean Bridgewater goes here? You know, kind of speculating where guys fill in. And we're about to see that happen. We're really, really close to seeing that happen, because Drew Brees re-signing does mean Bridgewater or Hill are probably gone. One of the two, if not both, most likely just one. But once those dominoes start falling, we're going to see Phillip Rivers. We're going to see a deal potentially with Jameis Winston. Tom Brady is testing the waters. We know this. And, there's obviously other quarterbacks out there. Andy Dalton looks like he's floating around. So we'll see what happens. I mean, we'll have a lot more to discuss, and it's a little easier to discuss when my co-host and partner here can, banter back and forth with me. But in the meantime, we'll just monitor the situation, see what comes of it. But I do want to talk about another quarterback. I said at the top of the show that I was going to talk NFL draft. It's not really NFL draft. It's an NFL draft prospect. And this might even fall under a little bit of get off my lawn segment stuff. But it really pisses me off the way the media runs with stuff these days. And I'm referring to Joe Burrow, the NFL draft prospect, most likely going to Cincinnati, 1 overall. It's not breaking news there, but he was asked, what do you think about going to Cincinnati? And he basically didn't answer the question, which, how could you blame him? Maybe he doesn't want to go to Cincinnati. But he was very professional and basically said, hey, listen, if they take me, they take me. If they, I think that was it. If they take me, they take me. And everyone in the media goes, oh my God, we have a headline. Finally. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. You gave us a headline so we can get clicks and write a little blog on Joe Burrow not wanting to go to Cincinnati. So I listened to the clip and I'm like, He didn't say anything about not going to Cincinnati. He basically said, if they take me, they take me. He knows he doesn't have a say in it. Rumors did come out recently that, you know, they think Burrow has the leverage here, but I don't think he has any leverage. If the Brown family of Cincinnati says, we're taking Joe Burrow, Joe Burrow's going to be a Bengal. It's that simple. And if he wants to pull an Eli Manning, you know, that could get sticky and might affect where he goes. It just depends what Cincy's willing to trade for him. But I just thought it was ridiculous that they ran with that headline. And Burrow seems like a good teammate who, I don't want to speak for the guy and say he'd be open to going to Cincinnati as if he has a choice. But whether he likes it or not, I think he knows they have some weapons there, assuming they keep A.J. Green. I don't think the future's that bright. I mean, that dark in Cincinnati. I don't think it's a horrible situation. Granted, their defense needs a lot of help outside of Geno Atkins. But they have Joe Mixon at running back. John Ross coming back from an injury, as he always is. But if he's your fourth guy as a slot receiver, damn, that's pretty good. Auden Tate stepped up last year, a monster out of Florida State. I think everyone saw that coming that watched the Noles. And then Tyler Boyd, kid out of Pitt. They have an awesome receiving core. So Tyler Eifert's still there, I believe. I don't know his contract situation. But if he's healthy, this is a really good team. Weapons-wise, I mean, they need a little help on the line and then defensively in total. But they could jump from being the worst team in the NFL to middle of the pack. And really, what more could you ask for? All right, so we touch on NFL. We touch on Joe Burrow and a little bit of the NFL draft. I got to touch on the Houston Roughnecks. Still have not watched a single play, but I'm telling you, I am all aboard the Houston Roughnecks team. They are I still got to order some shirts. I know I keep saying that. I guess the first step would for me to go online and log in and check them out. That might be something I should do. Might even do that right now, you know? Go check out some shirts. Order. Maybe I'll order me and Scott one since Scott was bitching about it when all I'm trying to do is get me and Scott die hard into the XFL, which is pretty hard to do. But it looks like the Houston Roughnecks won again. Week two highlights, they played the St. Louis Battlehawks, and I'm learning with you guys because I know none of y'all watch the just X'd off it. So I don't even know the score, but they did win. So that's good news. I'll check their record here or schedule. Let's do that. They played the – yep, this is how poor the XFL.com is. Doesn't even have them. I have to agree to look at the site. All right, well, you can Google it on your own. How about that? Because the XFL is they obviously need me to buy some merch so they can afford to update their site. But I did see that they won. So there you go. There's your XFL update. Anything else I haven't seen? Oh, I take that back. Bob Stoops, Florida State's head coach. Really the head coach of the Dallas Renegades. I saw they have not scored a touchdown yet in the XFL. So Norvell has a pretty low bar to jump over as far as matching production there with old Bobby, Coach Bob Stoops. I want to give a NBA update as we come out of the All-Star game. You know, I told Scott I'd watch some of the three-point contests and dunk contests. I did exactly what I said I would, and it was on in the background. I kind of watched it, kind of just drank beer and just knew it was on in the background, would look up every now and then. So I'm not going to bore you with a recap of something you already saw, and something that I would just be regurgitating because I didn't even see enough of it to give you any opinion on it. I did see some cool dunks. Aaron Gordon had a badass dunk. The Miami guy, Richardson, right? I don't know. You tell me. He had a nice dunk too. And he's who ended up winning. But as a recap, first half of the season in the books. Tomorrow, the NBA comes back with the regular season second half. Teams making playoff pushes. So I'm going to give you, as most of you know, 8 teams from each division, East and West, make the NBA playoffs. So let's go ahead and dive right into the East. The number one team there, as we all know, the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo or the Greek freak for you Americans like myself that refuse to learn how to say it. And I think I did an okay job there, but you can check me. Having a great year, more than likely the MVP, barring injury, moving forward. Bucks look really strong, but at the same time, in a seven-game series, I think you could beat them. They don't look like absolute world beaters like we've seen teams in the past, like Golden State that one year where it was just a shoe-in. But Milwaukee certainly looks strong. No doubt the leader in the East record-wise, but also play on the court. If you just watch them play, they play really well together. Nice having Middleton step up to help out Giannis as well. 2 seed, Toronto Raptors. They are somehow still up here despite Kawhi Leonard bolting to the Western Conference this year. So very impressive for the Toronto Raptors. Kyle Lowry and Siakam having real good years propelling the Raptors team. Boston Celtics behind Kemba Walker and a bunch of other big names. Jason Tatum. Gordon Hayward hadn't really had a great year, but he is a nice role player for them. I know they're not paying him like a role player, but, you know, that's kind of post-injury, still finding his groove, and he has some games where he's really good. And then the kid out of Cal, golly, what is his name? It's killing me right now. Brown. This would happen to me on the spot. See, this is where I need Scott, where he can chime in and say, hey, man, it's this guy. But anyway, high flyer, good defender. Sorry, I can't remember his name, but they have a really nice team put together there. Pretty good bench. Miami Heat are the 4th seed. They have a really good team. Jimmy Butler's playing well for them. And then they have Hero out of Wisconsin. It will transfer from Wisconsin, then went to Kentucky. He's playing really well there as well. 76ers. Probably my least favorite team to watch. Really don't like Ben Simmons or Embiid. They are the 5th seed. Rounded out the bottom 3, kind of interchangeable. We'll probably see one of these teams fall out. Indiana Pacers, who are close to the 76ers for that 5th seed. But the Brooklyn Nets and Orlando Magic rounding out the bottom 2 seeds in the East. Moving over to the West, totally different league in the sense of all these teams are uber competitive and they're really close in games back and in record. The Los Angeles Lakers, don't need to say a whole lot there. LeBron has them rolling. They look really, really good. The Denver Nuggets quietly at number 2. They have an awesome team. I love watching them play. Talking about a team that plays well together. I mean, they really gel despite not having like one freak of a all-star. I mean, of course, if you follow the NBA, Jokic is a stud. But aside from that, they're just a bunch of guys. The Los Angeles Clippers, Utah Jazz, two teams that are really could push for that 2. The Clippers, in that case, could even push for that 1 seed. Houston Rockets, Oklahoma City Thunder. The Dallas Mavericks have a really good team with a bunch of young guys. And then also rounding out the 8th seed, you want to talk about young guys, Ja Morant and who else do they have? They have another young guy. Their roster was not supposed to be this good this year. Next year was supposed to be their year, but man, they are very impressive there at that 8 seed. So there's your quick NBA update before we hit the second half of the season. And I'm going to get right into the Ice Mule Cold as Ice segment. Go log on to icemule.com and find you some of their great merchandise by using the promo code SPORTSBAR15. Get yourself 15% discount and check out some of their awesome merchandise. I know Scott's a big user of it since he's always rolling over to my house with beers and a cooler. I've used it a couple times. It folds flat, it floats, you name it. They are super cool, and that's why they keep your beer cool. My Ice Mule Cold as Ice team is the Houston Astros batters in MLB. According to Vegas, they just set the lines today. The over-under is set at like 83. I don't have the exact number in front of me. I think it's 83 times that batters will be hit this year. 83. So it's pretty much every other game they're expecting a batter to be thrown at. it's just absurd. I mean, that's cold as ice. You guys cheated. You're about to get whacked. And I can't wait to watch it. I think it's going to be awesome. Some bench clearing brawls this year. I think that's something you can go ahead and book when you watch an Astros game. There is going to be some fire, whether the Astros are up or the other team's up. Someone's going to be wanting to beat someone's ass on the Astros. That much is a fact. And I think they are cold as ice because they're going to need some ice to cool off some of those welts they'll be getting from a 98 high and inside. And I can't wait to see it. And that's your Ice Mule Cold as Ice segment. Remember to log on to icemule.com using promo code SPORTSBAR15. Whether it's a koozie, a cooler of any size, a backpack cooler, the two-strapper, if you're going hiking, you name it, they got it there on icemule.com. My final segment here before I let you guys go, Scott likes to do the coast-to-coast. I would have loved to hear some of that. It would have been nice to challenge him as we are deep into the offseason, low storyline day. But hey, I'm the champ here, sitting here walking you through, I think, let's see, maybe 30 minutes? How long have we been going? 26 minutes. It's not too bad. Not too bad. But another segment for you, something we've introduced a couple weeks ago, the Get Off My Lawn segment. You know what needs to get off my lawn? The ACC Network. I cannot get over it. They're making me drive up to a sports bar tonight to watch the Florida State Pitt game. And that's enough to frustrate you in itself. Scott leaves me high and dry, and I got to go to a sports bar to watch the game on a Tuesday because I got to see how the Noles do. And that, my friends, is another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast for Alex and for Scott, even though he's not here. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. As always, you can find us on Apple, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, you name it, iTunes, whatever they call it these days. And you guys go ahead and log into Spotify. Wherever you find your podcast, we'd love it if you give us a listen. Give us a follow, subscribe. We're having a lot of fun doing it. It's a lot more fun when Scott's with me, granted. But hey, when he's not here, I get to drink his beer. So again, I appreciate you guys listening to another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast.